As we gather around the Lord's table this evening and prepare our hearts, let me encourage you to remember that there's a reason why the Lord instituted His table, the Lord's table. Why? Because He desires us to remember Him by faith. Amen. Let's go to the book of... Excuse me. My notes. Let's go to the book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse 23. Now let's just read two verses and we'll commit our time to the Lord and His word to prayer. Chapter number 11, verses 23 and 24. The Apostle Paul says in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You, Lord, and we praise You for our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we think about the Bible-believing churches down through the ages that gathered around the Lord's table and remembered our precious Savior. Thank You, Lord, that we can be people of faith that hold true to Your word. And Lord, allow You to be the center of our lives and our worship. Lord, help us, we pray, to remember Thee this evening and to give You honor and praise and glory, for You are so worthy, Lord, we say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we know, according to the Scriptures, a few hours before the Lord Jesus gave His body to be broken and His blood to be shed for our sins, He gathered His disciples around the Lord's table. And that's when the Lord instituted one of the two ordinances, practices of the church, ceremonies of the church, one being baptism, the other being the Lord's table. And we know as Christ instituted the Lord's table, He knew that there were generations to come, just like our generations, that were not sitting with the Lord at the table with His disciples. The Lord knew that there was a need for us to not just remember Him, but for a people to come to remember Him by faith. Do you remember what He said to Thomas when Thomas was doubting the Lord's resurrection? And Thomas said, "I won't believe until I put my fingers into His side." And he was doubting the Lord's resurrection. Do you remember what the Lord said to Thomas? "Blessed are they who have not seen, but believed." The reason why we gather around the Lord's table this evening is to remember the Lord. But we are to remember Him by faith. And that's not a leap in the dark. Our faith is based upon a sure foundation, the Word of God, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So simply this evening, I'd like us just to be reminded of the purpose of the Lord's table. And it's needful for us to do so because so often as we're reminded this morning, we live by sight. And when we live by sight, we don't see the one, oftentimes, we're meant to see by faith. If we live by sight, oftentimes we miss the Lord. Oftentimes we forget the Lord. And it's important for us to live by faith, to remember Christ, and most importantly, to remember His sacrifice for us. Notice the Lord's table and its purpose is to remember the Lord by faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, notice the Bible tells us that Christ wants us to remember His broken body. The Lord said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you," in verse 24. "This do in remembrance of Me." And we know that the unleavened bread, the broken bread, represents Christ's broken body. Although on the cross not one bone was broken, the Lord certainly suffered greatly. In fact, under the Roman whip, his body was ripped to shreds. We know that during the sufferings of the cross, his body was nailed to an old rugged cross. And there, the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross suffered for you and I. Now remember, the Lord was not suffering for himself. But when John saw him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, the sinless, spotless, just one, the one without spot, the one without blemish, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world." Notice Isaiah chapter number 53, as we remember the Lord's broken body. Turn with me to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. We could spend all night on these verses, but I want you to notice how many times the word "our" appears in these verses. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Let's read these verses together out loud. Isaiah chapter 53, beginning in verse 4. Notice the word "our." Why did Christ suffer on the cross? Verse 4, 1, 2. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And all God's people said, amen. Amen. There in those verses is the reason why Christ suffered. My friends, Christ did not suffer for himself. Christ did not suffer because he needed to. My friends, Christ suffered because he desired to. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. My friends, the cross wasn't pleasant. In fact, that's an understatement. The cross was horrific. And in Christ's humanity, we know he did not want to go to the cross. And that's something that's so difficult to understand. Christ came down and was born of a virgin. He was 100% man, and yet he was still 100% God. And in his humanity, he did not want to go to the cross. In his deity, he could see the sufferings to come. And he said to God the Father as he prayed in the garden, "Lord, if it be thine will, take this cup away from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done." My friends, never forget that Christ suffered for us. The broken body represents his suffering. The broken body represents his love for us. And the Lord instituted his table so that we would remember Christ. Not by sight, but by faith. By faith. We are to remember his broken body by faith. We are to remember his shed blood. Verse number 25, back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Notice verse number 25. "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The unleavened bread represents the broken body of Christ, Christ's sufferings for us. The pure grape juice represents his sinless, spotless blood that was shed on the cross for our sins. As we'll see in time to come in the book of Hebrews, a wonderful truth: without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, is no remission. My friends, without the blood of Christ, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the division between God and man would still be there. Every day mankind would die and perish and head to an eternal lake of fire with no hope, with no salvation, with no redemption. But thank God that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank God for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Matthew chapter 26, as we see the Lord's table, the Lord said, "For this is my blood, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins," the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Thank God for his precious blood. On Wednesday nights, we're looking at the miracles of Christ, the miracles of Christ's ministry. And when we remember the cross, when we look at the passages of the crucifixion of Christ, we remember that there were many miracles that took place around the cross, amen? There were many miracles that took place that were wonders and signs of the wonderful salvation work of Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Christ died on the cross? The Bible tells us that the veil in the temple was rent in twain. That giant curtain, that massive giant hanging curtain in the temple that represented and symbolized the division between God of man, suddenly, supernaturally, miraculously, and powerfully was torn, rent in twain. It was ripped apart, amen? And you remember, church family, it wasn't ripped apart. It wasn't torn from the bottom to the top. If it was torn by man, if man could somehow get to God, if man could somehow, in their own works, work their way to God, it would have been ripped from the bottom to the top. But my friends, that curtain, that veil, the division between sinful mankind and holy God, was ripped where? From the top to the bottom. God did the work of redemption. God opened the way. And praise God, the wonderful joy that you and I can rejoice in is that suddenly and miraculously the way into the very holy of holies was open for wretched sinners like you and I. My friends, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God we do not sorrow as those that have no hope, but we have a lively hope. We have a wonderful hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, which is centered on His precious blood. Why do we lose hope in our Christian life? Well, because we start living by sight, do we not? See the problems in our lives and we see the obstacles, we see the difficulties, and we forget about our Lord. We forget about the most precious joy that we have that can never fade away, the precious gift of redemption, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. You see, that's why we need to remember Him, not just as individual Christians, but as a church, as a church. What does that remind us of? Well, somehow, and sometimes, in fact, oftentimes, as a church family, as a people of God, we can get carried away with all sorts of plans and programs and ideas, and we forget about He who is central to the church. He who owns the church. And we need to stay on track, amen, in 2016 by keeping our eyes by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the center of our worship. He is the center. Thank God for His precious saving grace. Thank God there is nothing we can do to earn our salvation, but He purchased it for us. Taking part in the Lord's table tonight won't get us one inch closer to the Lord regarding salvation. Taking part in the Lord's table tonight will not wash away our sins. We will not cleanse us from our sins. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth from all sin. So we are to remember Him by faith. Secondly, we are to be responsible to the faith. Responsible to the faith. It's interesting that not only are we to remember Him, but the Lord's table is a time of accountability. And how many of you are like me this evening, and we need accountability. We do. We need accountability. So often we live in the privacy of our own lives, but the Lord's table was instituted by the Lord to allow us to come together and the Lord to stop us in our tracks and say, you need to not only remember me, but you need to be responsible to the faith. Notice verse number 28 in 1 Corinthians. Verse number 28. The Bible says, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You see, in the Corinthian church, there were many that were taking part in the Lord's table, the Bible says, unworthily. They were coming to the Lord's table without reverence towards Christ. They were taking part in the Lord's table irreverently, unrespectfully. Why? Because they had sin in their lives, not unlike you and I, but they did not want to deal with their sin. They did not want to bring their sins to the Lord. They were remaining in their sin, and they did not see the seriousness of the consequences of their sin. If you've read these verses before, verse 29, For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The word damnation means judgment. This was written to Christians. It does not mean we can lose our salvation. Does not mean that we are in peril of hellfire. The Bible says God's chastening hand is upon the disobedient Christian. We are not willing to approach the Lord's table accountable for their sins. As a result, many were sick, and it even led to physical death. That's what the Bible says, verse number 30. Now, we can't get around that. But let me encourage you, there's a reason why this is in God's Word. Because so often we forget, what does the pure juice picture? It pictures the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood that washes away all sins. You might be sitting here this evening, you might say, Pastor, there's sins in my life. Brethren, the Lord wants us to be accountable. He wants us to come before the Lord's table, and He wants us to claim the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. For if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the Lord isn't looking for perfection, brethren. What He's looking for is self-examination. Are we willing to be honest with the Lord? None of us are perfect. But are we willing to allow the Lord to search our hearts? You see, so often we aren't. We're not like the psalmist David who said, "Search me, O God, and know my thoughts." You see, it's a time of accountability, and we need accountability. We need it. It's good for us to examine our hearts and say, "Lord, reveal to me what's there. Lord, the best that I know how, I'm approaching your table in reverence because of who you are, because what you have done. Lord, if there's any sin in my life, please help me to confess it." There's no such thing as perfection. But the Lord wants us to be responsible for our sins. He wants us to be responsible for ourselves. Notice Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Here in the beginning of the book of Acts, we see a local New Testament church flourishing. Acts chapter number 2, verses 41 and 42. We've often looked at these verses when we prepare for the Lord's table. They're helpful reminders of what a church is. Verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." The Bible tells us as Peter preached the word of God, souls were saved. And we know that they were saved. Why? Because the Bible tells us that they gladly received his word. As we noted this morning, the Lord Jesus said, "He that believeth on me." That's what salvation is, believing on the Lord, putting our faith and confidence in the Lord for salvation. So they gladly received the word of God and they were born again. The Bible tells us that this a fledgling church was made up of saved, born again believers that received the word of God. The Bible says upon receiving his word, they were baptized. As you know, the only biblical baptism found in the Bible is immersion. There's no sprinkling. There's no showers of blessing. There's no charismatic nonsense. There's biblical baptism whereby the born-again saved believer goes under the water and comes back out to picture the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what biblical baptism is. That's what a church looks like, amen? It's made up of saved believers, baptized believers. Notice what the Bible says, verse 41, "And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Verse 42 tells us that they not only believed in the same Savior, but they believed in the same doctrine. You see, the Lord's table is for those who are saved, those who are baptized, and in the local church, those who are in unity with the doctrines of the faith. And at Coastline Baptist Church, we wholeheartedly believe we hold to the apostles' doctrine. We hold faithfully to the word of God. And you see, the Lord hates division in the church. In the Corinthian church, there was great division. There were accusations being made. There was bickering. There was slandering. There were divisions and heresies and false teaching. And the Lord instituted his table so that there would also be a time of accountability. The Lord doesn't want his people bickering against one another. And as we come to the Lord's table, my friends, it is a time to examine our lives. Do we really believe wholeheartedly in the truths of the Word of God? Are we in unity with our brethren in the church? See, accountability is good for us. And the Lord doesn't want us to sit back and say, hey, all right, I'm not going to partake. No, the Lord says, examine yourselves. Come clean under the blood of Christ. Amen. Time of responsibility in the local New Testament church. To remember the Lord by faith, to be responsible to the faith. Notice also to be ready to go by faith. Amen. That's one of the purposes of the Lord's table. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 26, the Bible says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. You see, the Lord wanted us to remember him, but he wanted us to remember him as our risen Savior. And thank God, on the third day, Christ was risen from the dead. And the Bible tells us that Christ is coming again. And he wants us to reverence his table. He wants us to reverence the acts of salvation that Christ performed. But he also wants us to rejoice as believers that this may be the last time we gather around the Lord's table. Because Christ is coming again. We have a lively hope, amen. We have our Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants us to remember him, but one day faith will become sight. One day we will see those nail-pierced hands, amen, and we will see the Lord's loving face of love and adoration towards us. One day we will rejoice in the precious blood of Jesus Christ in his presence. One day the Lord's table will be no longer, and we will gather with the Lord, rejoicing forever. The Lord's table is important. If it wasn't, the Lord would never have asked us to sit around and gather together in fellowship with him around his table. To remember him, to be responsible to him, and to be ready to go to him for the faith. So as we prepare our hearts for a time of worship around his table, let me encourage you to remember the Lord. If you're here this evening and you've been saved, you're sure that there's been a time that you repented of your sin, put your faith in Christ alone for salvation. There's been a time where you were biblically baptized by immersion and you are in complete agreement with the doctrines and practices of this local New Testament church. And your heart, though like mine, it's not perfect, but it is as right as it can be before the Lord. We invite you to join with us and partake in the Lord's table this evening.